Miller, Debbie Darcy, or Dr. Edith Best. She's an American-born educational consultant and spiritual leader in the Krishna faith. She was in South Africa just recently to share her knowledge, her faith, and information about her literacy program and her talking books. Well, you may have heard us talking to her on otherwise on Friday. In fact, she'll be talking about the issue of women as spiritual leaders. But this time we got onto literacy, and I asked her how her educational and spiritual roles came together.
My spiritual journey really started when I was 4 years old. I was talking to my mother, asked her, why do we have our religion? And she said, because that was my mother's religion. And I said, why was that her religion? She said, that was because it was her mother's religion. And I said, well, that's not good enough. We should follow something that's true. I want to find the truth. And the whole time I was growing up, I would say, all I want to do is find God and love God and know God and discover God. And I first met devotees of Krishna indirectly when I was 12, directly when I was 14. I had been studying before that at the Jewish Theological Seminary in New York. Not being satisfied with the answers to my questions, I started reading the New Testament. I decided that I was going to accept Jesus as my Savior. But I wasn't terribly satisfied with what I found in most Christian churches. And when I discovered, especially the Bhagavad Gita, I said, this is what I've been looking for. Something that had the science of reincarnation and a personal relationship with the divine. Then I dedicated myself wholeheartedly when I was 17. Actually, I left after 1 year of university and moved into an ashram. Now, parallel to that, when I was growing up in New York City, I was in what was called an experimental school. It was a school where the children were taught individually. It wasn't what I would call a factory school where everybody had to do the same thing at the same time just because they were the same age. We did a lot of discovery learning. We did a lot of learning that now is considered standard educational practice, but it then was very radical. I mean, another thing that was very radical was that the school intentionally had children from all different races and religions and backgrounds in the classroom. And I loved school. I absolutely loved school. Then when I was 8 years old, we moved. I ended up in a regular government school, and I went from loving school to hating school. All of a sudden, you know, I was ahead of all the other kids in reading because I'd been allowed to go at my own pace, so I could read books like Charlotte's Web, and everyone else was reading Run, Spot, Run, you know. And my mother went to speak to the principal and said, you know, my daughter's very bored in school. And the principal said, well, we can always give her extra work. So I thought, oh, great, I can be punished, you know. And the school is supposed to encourage you to learn and to be smart, but then if you actually learn and you're actually smart, then you're punished. You're ostracized. You're weird.
SABC 1, what's the after party on the 11th of February?
Talking about her combination of spirituality and literacy. And I resolved then and there, as an 8-year-old sitting in a government school in America, I want to grow up in reform education in the world. Then I kind of forgot about that. And some years after that, I begged my parents to send me to another school, and we tried different schools, and I really wasn't very satisfied with any of them. I ended up going to a college that also had a very different kind of program. It didn't have just like a core curriculum, so I dropped out to move into an ashram. Then sometime after living in the ashram, I got married, had children, and due to a set of rather unusual circumstances, my husband ended up starting a school. Now, by that time, I had already been running a preschool, and I told him I was very happy running a preschool, that I wasn't really interested in working with the school he was starting, but I'd help a little bit here and there. Well, I ended up helping a lot more than a little bit here and there. I can't say that that was exactly my plan or intention, but it became my career. I went back to school, I got my master's and PhD, and I started publishing guidebooks on education. Very soon after I got involved in the school, then I remembered, oh yeah, when I was 8 years old, I had made a promise that I was going to reform education in the world. So we ran the school uniquely on two fronts. On the educational platform, it was an individualized school. I tried to imitate as much as I could what I'd had as a young child, and not just because of my own background, but I researched a lot into what schooling was like before the Industrial Revolution. And I found it was an emphasis on learning of logic, learning of practical skills, individual learning, learning of public speaking. The focus on education was very individual and very practical for life, and it was fun. The other way in which it was unique is that
we had a very strong spiritual emphasis. The children were engaged daily in meditation, in prayer, in spiritual service to society, in study of the scriptures. And I also tried to make that something that was very joyful and creative. So that's really led to the work that I've produced as a teacher and later as a school principal. I saw that there was a great lack of resources that supported the kind of education I was working in, both from the educational perspective and from the spiritual perspective. That most of the material out there really supported a very materialistic view of the world. You know, be happy in suburbia with your nice husband, wife, two children, and your dog, and your television set. And there were very few books supporting vegetarianism, or to speak of the fact that we're a soul, that we're not just a material being. And the books basically were geared for a whole class. Everybody sits down, everybody does the same thing at the same time, in the same way. Like here in South Africa, you call the traffic light robots, you know, so it's like everybody is a robot. And so we've created this literacy program, which I hope, and I said we're getting some results, actually combines the best of both.
The best for everybody, everybody's spiritual needs, everybody's spiritual vision, their faith will all be different.
That's a good point. And that's a dilemma for those of us who want to promote spirituality in the world. That as soon as you promote it in terms of one faith, it appears to be something sectarian, you know, almost as divisive as demarcations of race or ethnicity or nationality or gender or things of that kind. And you're looking for something universal. Of course, many, not all, but many of the world's great traditions claim universality. Some don't. There are some of the traditions that consider themselves ethnic traditions. Judaism is one of those, of course. It doesn't claim universal application.